Hello, it's Chris.
Hey everybody, what's going on? And welcome to Chris vs. the People, the show where real people tell real stories that just might hit real close to home. I'm your host, Chris Clemens. Today's episode is all about school trauma. All of the people we're going to be talking to on the line today are going to have some sort of fucked up story regarding school. And to be perfectly honest, I'm nervous. But I am excited because if y'all are anything like me in school, we're going to be in for a treat tonight. Now, before we get to the rest of today's episode, I want to just remind you to subscribe to Chris vs. the People wherever you get your podcasts. If you like video episodes, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is a fun time over there. It's also fun for you guys watching to comment down below as you're watching the episode, almost like you're live tweeting. I like love seeing your guys' reactions to all of this. It's really just honestly most times comforting. And then lastly, Chris vs. the People is going on the road in the fall. Be sure to get your tickets. There's meet and greet and general admission tickets. It is going to be a fun time. I'm going to some places that I've never been before, like Denver and Pittsburgh. I'm returning to some of my favorite places like Chicago, Seattle, Atlanta, and Boston. It's just going to be a really good time. And I'm super excited to be heading on the road again. It's been like over a year since I have. So very, very excited to see you guys again. And like, if you think these episodes are crazy, go to a live show, because let me tell you, that makes these episodes look like child's play. And I'm just excited for that again in my life. Alrighty, now enough babbling. We have our first caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to Chris vs. the People. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I love it. I'm, you know, breathing in cigarette incense. Now, what school trauma are you calling in about today?
I'm calling in about a little incident me and my dad had on the way to school.
I'm giggling only because, like, I fear that I, too, have trauma of stories of my dad driving us to school.
Oh, yes. So many.
What happened on the way to school with your dad?
Yeah, so I was in, like, 7th grade, and it was wintertime, snow and ice on the ground.
Okay.
Dad, he was taking me to school. We were running late as usual. We were both not diagnosed with ADHD quite yet.
Does your dad normally drive you to school? Like, did he?
Yeah, he drove me to school every morning. The front office ladies knew him by name and on site.
Okay, period. Come on, ladies, man. Now, is he, like, normally, are you fearful when your father is behind the wheel of a vehicle?
I mean, we've had some moments.
Okay.
We've had some moments, but generally, no. I trust him with my life on the road.
Okay, amazing. I just needed to see where we were at in this, because I definitely, my dad was 10 for 10. Every time he got behind the wheel, I was shitting my pants, and for good reason. Wait, so what happened with your dad driving you to school?
So we take one road like 90% of the way. So it's just a straight shot. And at one of the lights, someone pulled up next to us. And in where I grew up, if someone does that, that means they're trying to race you at the light. They're not turning right.
Okay.
So immediately we're like, this is a little sus. And when the light turns green, he immediately tries to cut us off. And he does that. And then he's doing the works. He's brake checking us. He's driving slow. He's being a dick.
Oh, my God. Like, tell me your dick is small without telling me your dick is small. I mean, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Can you literally imagine looking down and thinking, holy shit, I'm not going to get any attention for this. I've got to go wreak havoc behind the wheel of a car.
Dead ass.
That's crazy. And, like, do they know that everyone now knows that they have a small penis? Like, I mean, anyways, we're getting off track very quickly because I have my own opinions on these scenarios. Okay, so he's doing the works for you guys. And this is what, at, like, 7:30 in the morning?
It is, like, 8 a.m., a solid 8 a.m.
That's insane. That's fucking crazy.
No, literally. So he's doing all this shit. And this is the time when I tell you that my dad was an off-duty cop at the time.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Wait, does that mean he could, like, pull out his sexy little badge and his little baton and say, you're under arrest? Or no?
I mean, I don't think so. He didn't pull out his badger gun, but he certainly pulled out his police maneuvers.
Oh my God.
Okay, so I'm sitting in the front seat, and my dad is literally performing evasive maneuvers to fight with this guy, and they are going back and forth down a major road.
The cinematics in my head right now literally have already won Oscars. Like, I'm gagging. Like, I'm picturing this whole, like, Mission Impossible. Does your dad have a mustache and glasses?
100%.
Of course he fucking does. Yep, I see the whole fucking movie right now.
It was literally ridiculous. And so my dad, I don't think he normally would have responded this way, but I think because I'm in the car in the front seat, he's trying to make sure this guy doesn't, like, hit my side of the car.
What? What? I love that your dad doesn't do, like, evasion tactics to just get on a different road.
Right. So eventually he does do that. Eventually he turns off.
Okay.
Guess who follows us down the street, though?
Crazy Little Dick McGee.
Little Dick McGee, indeed.
Oh, my God.
He's following us down the street. And at this point, my dad's like, okay, we're done with this. And I don't even remember. I feel like I had my eyes closed at this point once I realized this man was following us.
Oh, my God. Girl, open your eyes. You're in an action movie. Wake up. This is some people's dream, okay? Anyways, continue.
True. And my dad pulls some move that this guy was, like, trying to get ahead of us, and he pulls to the side, and this man runs his vehicle straight into a snowbank, a rock-solid snowbank.
See, and, like, you truly are living people's dreams. Like, do you know how badly you want to see those assholes on the road crash and, like, not hurt anyone else but themselves? Like, that is, like, literally a step above watching them get pulled over. Like, you watch them quite literally crash into a wall. That is the dream. Did you enjoy it? Was it nice?
No, okay, because then it was, like, 9 o'clock by the 9:30 by the time I got to school.
Wait. How long? So you were in a car chase for an hour? An active car chase?
No. The active car chase until the snowbank was, like, probably 10 of the longest minutes of my life.
That's a long fucking time to be doing that song and dance.
No, it was ridiculous. And in my head, I'm like, okay, I know my dad knows how to drive. Like, he's a cop or whatever. But, like, what the hell is going on?
Totally irrelevant to the story, but I need it for my cinematics. Is he driving a silver Acura by chance?
My dad or the asshole?
Your dad.
No, we're in, I think, like, a black Envoy, if you remember Envoy.
Okay, period. Your dad is packing.
And literally, though, yes. Yes, he is.
Oh, my God. The fact that he was doing all of that in, like, a glorified tank is crazy. Like, that's actually impressive as fuck.
Like, we waited for the cops, and, like, they cleared up the scene or whatever.
What do you mean you waited for the cops? Was cops not driving?
We had to call them to come get him, though.
But...
because, like, what were we going to do with him in his busted up car?
Let him figure it out. I don't know. Not use taxpayer dollars, for one.
No, that's so fair. But I think my dad... I'm pretty sure my dad had him charged with, like, reckless driving or whatever the hell.
Ugh. And then he should have just taken his wallet and taken a 20 out and gotten lunch for you guys.
That would have been so dope.
Wow. So, like, were you the coolest kid at school that day?
Oh, my God, yes. Because they were like, where were you? And I was like...
You were like, bitch, I was in a high-speed car chase!
Like, don't even worry about it.
Oh.
You can't talk about it. It's under investigation.
It literally probably wasn't under investigation. It was probably, like, in the newspaper the next day fully. But that is incredible.
Yeah, probably.
That's fucking iconic. What a great start to today's episode. I mean, this was just a five finger... Oh, never mind. I was going to say five finger lick it. Yeah, no. It's okay. We tried, and you know what? Sometimes you have to put yourself out there to fail. And that's what we all just witnessed. Wow. I'm really jealous of this. I don't have these stories with my dad. My dad was the one doing the brake checking and the cutting people off. And while it was on back roads, yeah, it was a frightening time. But thank you so much for sharing this. You kicked this episode off correct.
Oh, absolutely. And to be clear, there are also moments where I've fully witnessed my dad turn left into oncoming traffic. So, like...
Okay, as someone who's also turned left into oncoming traffic before, it's not his fault or something.
Or something.
But thank you so much for calling in, and I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you so much. You have the most fantastic night.
Oh, thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Y'all, what the hell? Like, literally, my mornings to school where my dad was driving was in this fuck-ass silver little tiny car. And we would take, like, exclusively the back roads. And if, like, you don't know what a back road is, like, the ones I'm talking about, they are, like, literally one-lane roads that are two-way streets. And they are windy as fuck, and they're going through, like, the woods, the forest, on a cliff, by a river, like, next to a dam. Like, it's really crazy. My dad would be fucking speeding his ass off, and I would be taking my Adderall that I was prescribed by my psychiatrist with a sugar-free Red Bull while I'm having a panic attack, not realizing until years later when people tried to buy my Adderall off of me in college that Adderall is basically just cocaine, and I was drinking it with Red Bull. That is incredible. Like, if I were like a wordsmith, there would be something there. Like, Red Bull, incredible, whatever. I'm going to shut up because we have our next caller, but holy shit, I am so gagged. Anyways, hi, welcome to Chris vs. the People.
Hi, Chris. I'm so glad to be here. I'm calling about the time when my older sister and I convinced our small country town that we had written the song Butterfly Fly Away by Hannah Montana.
Okay, what? What grade? What's the age difference between you and your sister, and what grade were you in when this is happening?
We are 18 months apart. So we're two school grades apart.
Okay.
And just to prove like how small the town was, and especially the school. So we're two school grades apart, but we were in the same classroom, and we had the same teacher.
Uh-huh. I don't think I even understand that, but I've never really been good at math. So where is this small town, may I ask? And you don't have to answer, but I just, like, is it a place that it's feasible that somebody could have written a song for a movie?
Well, we didn't, I don't know. Okay, it's in Wexford, Ireland. So Wexford's the county.
Oh my God, that is the most insane thing I've ever fucking heard. This story is taking place in Ireland?
Yes.
This is, like, I similarly lied about shit like this in school, in like elementary and middle school. And like, looking back on it now, I'm like, that is the least believable. Like, why the fuck, in your case, would someone from Ireland be writing a song for a movie? The Hannah Montana movie, no less.
Literally. Thank you. And I'm like, I still don't know if like, because I think the Hannah Montana movie came out after. So I don't know, like, if they all had that, like, both. We had, like, the whole school. I mean, granted, it was a small school. It was, like, probably, like, 50 kids. And, like, this is, like, this town, it's, like, the very stereotypical Irish town. Like, everyone knows each other. Everyone is related. Like, I don't know how we got away with it.
Wait. Did you guys say that, like, was the song already out? Or, like, did something leak?
No, the song had already been out, and I think it was, like, really popular and, like, trending. At least in America, it was definitely popular at the time.
So were you guys saying, like, that you guys wrote this song for the movie, or were you just saying you wrote this song and you were passing it off as your own?
We wrote the song, and we were passing it off as our own.
Wait, that's even better. I thought, like, you guys were telling your fucking school that you guys wrote the song in the movie. Like, everybody was obsessed with the movie, and you were like, yeah, we wrote that song. You plagiarized.
Yes.
Absolutely fucking obsessed. See, like, sometimes plagiarism should be okay. Like, that's so funny.
Right?
And why did you guys do this? Like, just for the love of the game or what?
Yes, it was the love of the game. We had, we convinced a lot of people of a lot of things. We, like, told everyone we had like a amusement park in our closet in our room, and they believed us. Like,
I'm starting to wonder the effectiveness of said school, because it sounds like your little village is really stupid.
Well, yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, an amusement park in your closet?
Yeah, we said we had, like, monkey bars. Or I guess it wasn't really, like, an amusement park. That was the wrong word.
Oh, okay. It was, like, a jungle gym.
Yes, correct. Exactly.
Okay. That's still fucking bananas. No pun intended. And were you guys singers? Or was this just, like, something out of the blue that was, like, we're singer-songwriter duo now, and this is Butterfly Fly Away?
I think we thought we were singers. We definitely cannot sing, but, like, we would perform it for everybody, like, at, like, lunch and recess. We would, like, say, like, do you want to see the show? Like, this is our song.
Do you want to see the show? You guys are out of your goddamn minds, and I'm, like, low-key to mid-key obsessed.
Thank you.
Like, that's the sort of delusion that I think is, like, what's so beautiful about being young. Is like you just rip shit off and see what sticks.
Exactly. I feel so like heard and seen when I listen to you and like your stories and the people that you have on.
Okay, let's settle down now. That's, I don't know if this is turning into the compliment you think it is.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm honored, honestly. Yeah, I like when I was in kindergarten, me, my friends, Aaron and Jordan, they were two girls. We convinced this kid in our class, in our kindergarten class, that we were on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I didn't even know you could fucking talk in kindergarten. So, like, I just remember this classroom so vividly. And for the next week, we spent our time cutting green rectangles and drawing, like, stick figure Abe Lincolns in the center, like a stick figure with a top hat, because like obviously that's what a president is. And then at the end of the week we showed maybe 10 quote unquote dollars of green paper. Oh yeah, we said we won, but we don't have the money yet, so that's why we are creating it all week. We were like, well shit, okay, because the kid was like, well show me the money then. And we're like, fine, but tracking says it gets here Friday. And then, yeah, at the end of the week, we made him cry when we showed him the money, and he said, I'm so sorry, I didn't believe you.
Good. It sounds like that was well-deserved.
Right? Like, why don't you just fucking believe the lies I say? It's not that hard. Play into the fantasy.
Worry about yourself.
Worry about yourself, huh? Why don't you worry about yourself? I love you. Thank you so much, Aoife, for being a part of today's episode and sharing your story. That was, I love a good lie for the love.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Anytime. I hope you have a good rest of your day now.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Like, that is perfect. And I love that, like, that's, like, low-key not even trauma. That's, like, a flex. Like, well, we wrote a smash song called Butterfly Fly Away. Let us know your thoughts afterwards. Butterfly Fly Away. It's literally the only lyric I know, which, yeah, is also the title. We're going to just move right along with our next caller. Okay, the next call is juicy as hell, but before we get to it, I want to thank today's sponsors. Now, in a world where AI is changing every role and every industry, knowing who actually has deep expertise matters more than ever. Upwork connects you with highly skilled freelance professionals with proven track records so you can hire with confidence. For those of you who don't know, Upwork gives your business fast access to highly skilled specialists with deep expertise so you can fill critical skill gaps, launch projects faster, and scale support up or down without committing to a full-time headcount. Upwork is truly where businesses find highly skilled freelance professionals for specialized work, from software development to marketing, design, and business operations. You can browse profiles, review past work, and get help scoping the role so you can hire with confidence and get started quickly. And I do have to say, with Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, which means that there is no endless searching required. Upwork also cuts down operational hassle by handling things like contracts and payments in one place, so you can spend more time running the actual business. Thousands of growing businesses already trust Upwork to hire highly skilled freelance professionals for everything from one-off projects to ongoing support. And with over 170,000 freelancers holding five-star ratings, you can hire with confidence that comes from hiring someone with a verified track record. It's free to sign up and posting a job is easy. So visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. Thank you again, Upwork, for sponsoring today's episode. Also, I'd like to thank Tempo for sponsoring today's episode. Now, summer always sounds relaxing and chill in theory, but I don't know why I feel busier than ever. Just from trying to film videos and working on secret projects and preparing for tour, eating a good, healthy, balanced meal is just not at the top of my priorities, which is something I am working on. But that's one of the big reasons that I have been loving Tempo. The meals are already prepared, they're ready in just minutes, and they make it easy to have a healthy option waiting for me, no matter how much my ADHD kicks in during the day. For those of you who don't know, Tempo delivers fresh, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals right to your door, which means it's making it easy to eat well and also save time on busy days. To be honest, I struggle with portion control, and what I love about Tempo is that each meal is perfectly portioned for lunch or dinner, and again, ready in just 2 minutes. That means real food real fast. And with over 20 recipes every week made from nutrient-rich ingredients, Tempo keeps things exciting and helps you stay consistent with healthy habits. And no matter what your goals are, there is a Tempo meal for you. There's protein-packed meals with over 30 grams of protein. There's fiber-rich meals. There's meals with gut support. Whatever you're looking for, Tempo's got it. Tempo's just convenient, but also flexible enough to fit the way I want to eat. And Tempo is hooking it up for our listeners because for a limited time, Tempo is offering my listeners 60% off your first box. Go to TempoMeals.com/Clemens. That's TempoMeals.com/Clemens for 60% off your first box. TempoMeals.com/Clemens. Rules and restrictions may apply. Thank you so much, Tempo, for sponsoring today's episode. And guys, okay, we have to get to our next caller.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to Chris vs. the People. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. What trauma from school are you telling us about today?
So I'm going to talk about the time my old middle school teacher called me from prison.
Wait, I like not zoned out, but like definitely was just like watching the smoke dance off this like little cigarette on my table. If you're watching the episode, you saw it happen in 4K. Wait, your middle school teacher called you from prison?
Yes.
And you were in middle school? Like, were you still actively in his class or her class?
So it's kind of even weirder. It was, let's see. I was in his class around 2012, 2013 in like eighth grade.
Okay.
And he called me when I was around 22 in like 2021. Well, he didn't call me. Like, it was like the, would you like to accept a call from?
No, he and called you, but it was, out. Yeah, the whole, yeah, from
yeah,
prison.
Yeah, yeah, I was yeah, like, yeah. Oh, that's official. Yeah, very official. Yeah.
That's official to getting a call from someone in prison. That's official. I'm already loving where this is headed.
Definitely a surprise. Did not expect that when I picked up the phone.
Did you keep in contact with this teacher?
No.
Like, you left middle school and, like, that was it.
Yeah, it was actually, this is still a mystery of, like, first of all, how he would have my number.
Is your number the same as, well, did you have a number when you were in eighth grade?
I think so, because I had a phone in middle school for sure, but I don't think it was the same number.
Okay.
I would have got like a new number in high school, I think. Like when I think we switched phone providers or something like that.
Thank you so much for your family history.
Right. And my mom is a sixth grade teacher at that school. So I was like, is there any way he could have gotten my number? Like, is it in like a student directory? No.
Oh my God, your mom is his colleague?
Yeah.
Babe, we brushed past that a little too quickly. Yeah, what the fuck?
Yes. So she was a sixth grade teacher at the same middle school at the time too.
Okay.
Like when he was my teacher and like at the time of him like calling me.
So almost a decade later, your middle school teacher calls you from a prison.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we like, there had been like Facebook posts about a few months before in like February, because this was in June when he called and he was arrested. He was still teaching at the school. He was arrested for possession of like a lot of different drugs and his mugshot was like going around Facebook.
Oh my God. Because like, of course it did. Okay. So his mugshot was going around Facebook in your town in February?
For possession of like a bunch of different drugs and whatnot.
Okay.
And then June of the same year, a couple months later, he was arrested for like domestic violence, bail jumping, a bunch of different charges like that, just like not good stuff. And my mom was talking to me about it literally like the same day because it was going around the school. She taught there and the teachers were talking. And so I got the call that night and I freaked out and I hung up as soon as it like, would you like to accept a call from, it said his name. And I was like, oh my God, I hung up. So I never talked to him.
What?
Never knew what he wanted.
I mean, like, okay, I guess like the addition of the domestic violence angle is like, that's super fair to be afraid. That's, but like, you have no idea how he got your number, why you.
Yeah. I tried, I went on Facebook because...
You're like, I got to make a Facebook status because it's going to go viral in this motherfucker.
Right. No, I didn't even like go public. I tried messaging him on Facebook about it. I was like, hey, I just want to know why did you try calling me that one night? Like just if he could see it, you know, and it was blocked. Couldn't message him again. And I was like, oh, I'll never know. There is like a... kind of like an ending to the story, but it's very like he did end up like taking his life
a year later in
2022. So that's like very sad. I just want to reiterate, he was such a cool, nice, awesome teacher. So like fast forward to like 10 years later, this happens. I'm like, wait, this is so out of the blue, right?
And what did we learn from this story, class? A lot can happen in 10 years.
A lot, you know what? That's really true. That does give me some closure, honestly, because this whole time it's like, how? Yeah.
Well, we know how. It was possession of drugs and domestic abuse.
Right. I was just like, dang, when I knew him, I was just like, yeah, great teacher. But yeah, never know. We'll never know how he got my number, sadly.
Well, that's like the gag about school. And like I'm at an age, if you're wondering, I'm 22. I'm like 32 and I can still like remember like middle school and like elementary school and like parts of kindergarten and shit. And it's like, mm-hmm. I had such beef with teachers and then to like think, I never like thought about them outside of school. I was like, well, they live here.
Oh yes, of
like,
course.
Now being this old and like being on the other side of it where like friends of mine are teachers, like family members are teachers. It's like, oh, what the fuck were all of my teachers up to? And was I maybe onto something with them? Like in second grade, my substitute teacher came to class with a jean skirt that was like truly an inch away from Punaniville. Like almost truly took us there in second grade. I was like, aren't we supposed to have sex ed in like middle school or something? She had on those like tan Uggs that went like up to like her mid calf, and then she had a tight white baby doll tee on, and wait for it, a tiara.
Oh my gosh! Wow, the icing on the cake.
Oh my God! It to me it was so fascinating because like at the time I was like, okay, this is my substitute teacher, and it's like clearly that made an impact on me because I'm talking about it. Like that was 2001. Holy shit, like 25 years later.
Kind of, yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh my God, the tiara is honestly crazy.
No, I think I like want to say it was her birthday, she said.
Okay, okay.
Because I remember thinking like, okay, that at least makes sense for the tiara. What the fuck is going on with this jean skirt?
yeah, yeah.
But like also, it was like gaggy because my school had like a dress code. Like you had to wear like a tucked in shirt. And like it was like just beneath a uniform, essentially.
Like,
so like she showed up like that, and I was like, now wait a damn minute. Yeah, but
you're like, she's actually doing something there with that top and the skirt.
No, she really did something. I don't know what that something was, but it might have been someone.
It was memorable.
It was crazy, and she had like bleach blonde hair, and it was like straightened, and she had like a side part back. Like, it was fucking nuts.
And was she a good teacher?
Well, I was the last to finish my timed multiplication test that year, so I would say no.
No, very, very much so.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. Actually, it wasn't a white t-shirt. It was a white polo, like a tight white cropped polo.
Oh, studious.
Which is like with like the popped collar and everything. Yeah, it was like fully 2001.
Okay.
It's still insane, but like it had a collar. So
it is. It at least it had a collar.
Wow. Teachers, you really never know what they're up to, except now that I do know teachers as an adult, I'm like, oh, so this is what my teachers were up to. Got it.
Right. They're adults too. Like, it's crazy.
Wild. But thank you so much for sharing. I'm honestly like, I like part of me was wishing you like answered and talked to him.
You know what? Me too.
But like, I understand the reason for not doing it, but like, oh, so many questions that will go unanswered.
I know. What if, right?
Like, just, I want to know, like, why?
I will forever wonder that, too.
Oh, my God, and we can't even ask him. Ugh.
I know. It's the worst. It's the worst. It's like, no, I can't even ask him. Like, can't even find out, like, where he lives and go knock on his door. Like, nope.
We have to find the people he was in jail with and talk to them. I'm, like, literally making a Netflix documentary out of this. We have to move on.
I'll forever wonder, but yeah. If I ever find out, I will let you know.
Please do. Oh my God, please do.
I will.
Thank you so much for being a part of today's episode and sharing, honestly, this like low-key, like unsolved mystery.
Yes. Sadly unsolved.
Like, you're passing along the schoolhood trauma. Damn. I'm like, well, now I'm going to be up all night wondering what the fuck was going on there.
I know. You know what, though? Yeah, maybe someday. You never know. Maybe one of his jailmates will come forward and just, hey, this is how we got the... You never know. If any of them are out there, tell me.
Not this turning into a fucking casting call. All right, girl. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you again. This is so enjoyable.
Too. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm like... genuinely, like, what happened, girl? Like, I need to, I want to know. That's why I tried to, like, I was on like a true crime kick. I went on Netflix and they are like, I think it was Netflix, they have the unsolved mysteries or unsolved murders. Like, I don't want to fucking watch that. Like, I need another burden, like a third leg. Like, actually a third leg would be pretty helpful, or I'm sorry, fourth leg. Y'all, I don't know, but I don't fuck with unsolved mysteries, and I feel like we just got told one. Anyways, we have our final call of the episode. Hello, welcome to Chris vs. the People. What traumatic story from school are you going to be telling us about today?
In fifth grade, my entire elementary school class went to like a week-long camp, and on the last night, we had to basically... live action role play the Underground Railroad.
I'm not laughing for the record because that's funny. I'm laughing because, like, what the fuck was that sentence? You're in fifth grade doing a live action of the Underground Railroad?
Oh, yeah. In the year 2012, it was like nuts.
And like,
for an entire like day and tonight.
So, like, what was the population of your school in terms of white people?
Oh, it's like 98.5% white.
Okay, that's exactly what I feared.
There was one person of color in my grade.
Wow.
My entire life.
Oh.
And he participated.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. So how did we get here? Because like, I thought you were going to be like, oh, and we told ghost stories or like whatever the fuck. Like, never in my life have I heard of someone doing a live action like recreation of the Underground Railroad. That's crazy.
Yeah, so it was March. I remember that because it was right when the Hunger Games movie released. It released while we were there. So my camp counselor left at midnight to go see the premiere the night before.
Dude, different times when you would like go at midnight to a movie.
Oh, yeah. It was a huge, and it was the Hunger Games. It was a huge deal.
Yeah, like dressed up probably.
Oh, for sure.
Oh my God, wait, that is such a funny, like, small random fact about this story.
I'll never forget that about her.
She's so real for that.
So it was March, and we had been learning about the Underground Railroad for, like, a little bit in school before that. And the rest of the camp, by the way, we were there for several days. The rest of the camp was, like, regular summer camp.
Okay, well, that was definitely, like, among my next questions was, like, wait a second, what sort of camp is this? Because I'm picturing like a zip line or like basketball courts.
Oh yeah.
Like the whole
thing. It was like totally normal. There's a lot of discourse about it online. Like so many people look back on it now and we're like, what the genuine fuck? Like that was not right.
Wait, so other people who were there were like, why did we do that?
Yes, like it's so crazy. And like all the camp counselors would participate. Some of the parents were chaperones for it. All of our teachers participated.
Okay. Like so is this a thing the camp did or like your school did at the camp?
It was the camp did it. I'm sure my school could have opted out, but...
This was like a tradition of the camp?
Yeah, they called it living history. Literally unreal. And there was one other elementary school in my town and they went to a different camp. So they never did this.
I mean, what did they do at the fucking other camp? Live recreation of the slave trade? I mean, what the fuck?
No, they like just had a totally normal experience.
Well, good for them. What the literal fuck? I mean, like, yeah, like, I guess like representation in the media, but you're in fifth grade and to recreate that is nuts.
Yeah, and we weren't required to participate at the camp, but like I think only like two people didn't because they were scared and we had to like sign waivers and stuff.
Okay, so like I'm afraid I don't know how to tread this territory. I like, what did this reenactment look like? Like, how did this camp portray the Underground Railroad in quote living history?
Yeah, it started with all the students, we just like wore whatever clothes we had and we all got a bandana that we had to wear around our forehead. And if you were too scared at any point, you would pull it down around your neck and that could mean that like they couldn't like target you specifically. So we're all like, and all the parents and chaperones and stuff were all dressed in like they all looked like farmers and shit. Like they were all in costume.
The fact that there are adults doing this.
Oh yeah.
Is even crazy. Like I feel like I just like took acid or something. Like what are you talking about? A bunch of parents are like playing farmer when their kids are role-playing slaves moving to safety?
Yes, and it like only gets worse. So like we're all like at the auction and we're all about to get auctioned off. So we're like laying in the field in like tornado position with like our knees tucked under us and our face like in the dirt.
Wait, pause right there. What the fuck is tornado position?
They would like teach us in school if there was a tornado while we were at school to like line the hallways and like get down on the ground.
Oh. I thought this was like a yoga pose, like downward dog, like
no.
Tornado position. Okay.
It's just the Midwest. And
okay, got it. It's what you do in the case of a tornado. Totally. So
we're all like face in the mud and the like auctioneers are walking around like screaming at us. Some of them are like cracking whips next to our head. And they would like pick some people and they would have to go like haul logs to see if they would be strong enough to like get sent to that group. Like some of the girls had to like rock a like fake baby to see if they would like make a good mother to go to that group, and then the rest of us just like were getting screamed at, and then we would get like taken up onto like a stage kind of and get auctioned off in front of everyone to like each of our groups, and then at the very end only one group got to make it across the Ohio River to safety by the end of it all. The whole night.
I'm so sorry. I just factory reset. So is this an educational thing or like supposedly or like a mafia or like, you know, that fucking game at night that you play and you like tackle people?
So both pretty much, because then once we were all like in our groups and we each had like a leader, and we had to, they would lead us around the camp. And if we like didn't listen to orders, cause there would be slave owners like sprinkled throughout everywhere, like as we're walking through the woods. And so we would have to like be following every direction. And if you like took one step wrong or like did something even slightly off, you would either get sent back to your slave owner and like you lose isn't the right word, but like you lose, or sometimes if it was like bad enough and you got caught and the rest of the group didn't, then you would like get killed pretty much.
I really don't know.
We would be like in cabins with like safe people that were like helping us, and then we would hear like bad guys coming. So at one point we were like hiding under the floorboards of a house, like army crawling through the mud. There was another time we had to like hide in the wall of a house because they came in and were trying to find us.
What the fuck? What are you? I'm like malfunctioning. It is
so like, nuts.
Like, was the point of it to scare y'all into realizing how bad slavery was?
Yeah, pretty much, I think. And like also, we in music class, for like several weeks before, we had to learn like traditional slave songs.
Was James Charles your choir teacher? Bring me a little water now. That is so crazy though, that is like a running joke for him and it's a slave song. That is really crazy. That is really, I don't know if I've heard a school story like that. Like you might have done the assignment correctly. Like that is fucking schoolhood trauma.
Yeah. So then like at the very end, my group made it so far. We were like at the last stop before we got to cross the Ohio River. Also, mind you, the Ohio River is like an hour south of where this camp was.
Listen, okay, we're not geographically accurate. We're historically accurate.
I know. I just feel like it would be one thing if this was in like North Dakota and they're like, this is how it was over there. But like, no, it was fully here.
That, I mean, like, I really, that is, I've never fucking heard anything of the sorts. That is nuts.
Yeah. So like, we were about to cross the river, my group, and we were like hiding behind this like shed, and then my leader was like, okay, I think like it's finally safe to go. And so we like are creeping out from behind the shed, and mind you, it's like dusk now and it's March in Ohio, it's cold outside, it's like dark, we're 12 years old.
No, that's the part that I'm thinking about, is like you're not even 12 years old, like fifth grade, you're like what, 10 9?
Yeah, like
like,
yeah,
that's just ludicrous.
So we're like creeping out from behind the shed, and all of a sudden my science teacher, he's wearing like a white shirt, brown pants, suspenders, and like a cowboy hat. My science teacher jumps out from like the cornfield, and he had a like fake musket, and he shot all of us. So we died and we didn't get to cross the river.
Like, that's where I would be like, what happened to canoeing? What happened to tennis? What happened to archery? Like, what happened to ziplining?
And then afterwards, we just all, like, ate dinner at the food hall.
Does the camp still do this?
That is up for debate. A lot of people say they do. A lot of people say they don't. They took down the section about it on their website. So I'm not sure, because there's been a lot of discourse on like TikTok and Reddit about it recently, because everyone is coming out of the woodworks like, hey, what the fuck was that?
Oh my God. Well, I mean, thank you for giving us a leg into the conversation. I mean, like, I know somebody. Whoa.
Yeah, it's like so insane.
Oh my God. I can't believe it was a section on their website. And the fact that that's not even the most shocking part about this is just insane. Oh my God. I mean, like, not thank you for sharing with us today, but like, Like, that's fucking school trauma right there.
Yeah, like whips getting cracked in my ear. My science teacher shot all of us at the end. Like,
no, just start to finish, top to bottom, side to side, windows to the walls, sweat down my balls. Like, it's just insane.
Yeah, still to this day, I know all the words to Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. So it'll never leave me. I mean, I learned, that's for fucking sure.
I mean, like, as long as you learned, I guess. I don't even know how to respond to this. This is the most insane thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, and the irony of the camp being called Camp Joy. It's like, are we truly joyful over here? Are you sure?
Not the camp being Camp Joy. Fuck, girl. That was absolutely insane. Like, thank you for sharing and being a part of today's episode and really finishing off this episode with just an absolute what the fuck moment.
Yeah, ending it with a bang that came from my science teacher's fake musket. Yeah.
And you know what? Let's close there. Thank you so much, Diva, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Oh, you too. Love you.
Love ya. Bye. Y'all, like, did other people do this? Is this like a normal thing that's been happening in America? The fact that it's still happening, slash, like, people, it's possible it's happening, is really wild. Like, I guess, like, yay, they're still teaching people about real American history. But on the other hand, I don't know if fifth graders need to be getting, like, theoretically musketed by their science teacher. But listen, who am I to say? I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Oh my god, and just in time for back to school. Like, I mean, I don't know how many of people listening are, like, in school right now, but I mean, did this not give you something to look forward to or what? Now, if you're watching this episode on our YouTube channel, be sure to comment a crazy piece of school trauma that you have. I'm very curious to hear. Be sure to subscribe to Chris vs. the People wherever you get your podcasts. If you guys could give it 5 stars and leave a nice little review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, it helps us out tremendously. Now I'm about to head on over to the Chris vs. the People after show on Patreon, where we're going to be having another caller tell us about some crazy school trauma. But if I don't catch you there, oh, be sure to get tickets to Chris vs. the People live on the road, baby. It's going to be a good time. Check down below the link for tickets to see where I'm going. And if I don't see you on the Chris vs. the People after show, I will see you next Tuesday.